there were very horrible, evil people, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, in Germany. They started fighting, making a big war. It's called World War II. They wanted to take over, it seems like, the whole world. And unfortunately, in the beginning, they were conquering a lot of countries. And wherever they came, one of the first things they did was, Rahman al-Islam, they would murder Yidden. And many, many millions of Yidden got murdered during the Holocaust. My grandparents were through the Holocaust. They supposed to survive with many miracles. My mother's father was actually a partisan. They were people who would hide away in the woods, like hide in caves in different places. And they would get weapons and different things to fight against the Nazis. And they were very big heroes to fight back against them, try to protect you and save people. So this person who's saying the story here, he says about himself that at first the Nazis came to their city and they said everyone has to leave their houses and go to one small little area, a few streets. They called it a ghetto. So you're only allowed to stay in this little area, all the Jews. They wanted to keep an eye on them and Rahman al-Islam do bad things to them. And they made a lot of rules. Part of the rules they made was that you're not allowed to do anything religious. You can't pray, you can't daven, you can't do any mitzvahs, you can't learn Torah. But this person says, I didn't listen to them. I in my house, when no one's looking, for sure, I daven 3 times a day, every day. I'll make sure to learn as much as I could. I did as many mitzvahs as I could. What do I care? They're murderers, these people. And unfortunately, all the different times, every day or a few days, they would come in and take away people, Rahman al-Islam, what they would do to them, take them away. So there was a lot of places they even bombed the Nazis, and they had to run from one place to the next. And being that I had to run from one place to the next, I keep on running, I couldn't really carry stuff with me too much. So even I wanted to make sure I had my tefillin always. So usually tefillin, to be real mahudr, to be really the best mitzvah, it could be a little bigger, maybe like, I don't know how many inches, maybe 2 inches or something, I don't know exactly how big, but a little bigger is a nice pair of tefillin. So a smaller pair of tefillin, it could also be kosher as long as they write it properly. You have to be very careful when you write it so small. But it could also be kosher. So I got, he said, a tiny pair of tefillin because it was easier to hide than a big one because in a dangerous situation, I have to come on running. And for some reason, he wasn't able to get a haircut then. It makes sense. They couldn't able to get even regular things then. So his hair is pretty long. So he realized that if he slips it, wraps up this tiny little tefillin between his hair and his yarmulke, head covering, he was able to hide it there, and to run around, he was able to keep it on top of his head and hide it there. When he wanted to put it on, he would take it out from under the yarmulke between his hair, wrap it on his arm and his head the right way, and that's how he had his tefillin. Now, came one day, and they gathered a lot of people, including him. They put everyone on a train, and they sent them away to this big work camp where they made them work extremely hard. They killed a lot of people, Rahman al-Islam. And when he got there, they said, okay, everyone has to take a haircut, take off all your hair. So now he didn't have his hiding place anymore. He couldn't hide his film there. He had to quickly hide his film somewhere else. So in the room where they had them sleep, their beds, they weren't nice, fancy beds at all. They didn't have even mattresses and pillows. They were just pieces of wood. That's what they slept on. And they were bunk beds. And not one on top of the other. There was three. One, another one, and another one. Three. So he found out, he looked around, and he saw that between the beds and the wood, there was some kind of hole somewhere. So he slipped the tefillin inside there, inside the hole, to hide it there. And every day, he would come in the room with no soldiers inside, no one's around. He'd put on the tefillin. And when the other Jewish people were there around, and other Jewish people also said, oh, let us put on. So a lot of people wanted to put on this one pair they had. And he didn't get to do the whole davening, a whole long praying and long time in the tefillin, because a lot of people wanted. And they couldn't do any soldiers around. So they had a very short time. He just wrap it up quickly, say the Shema, and take it off and give it to the next person. So that went on for a while. He was always putting on tefillin, hiding, and the people put on also. Until one day, when he came into that room, after they were making him work hard, and he came in, and he saw a soldier there taking a stick and banging on the beds. And he got all scared. What's he banging on the bed for? It happened that other prisoners also realized there was that hole between the beds. And they also hid stuff in there. is because the Nazis in Machshavim, they said, give us everything you have. They wanted to take away any jewelry, any money, anything they had to take it away to keep for themselves. So when the Nazis figured that out, they wanted to go start searching and seeing if there's anything there. So they would take a stick and bang on that piece of wood, because if something's empty or full, it sounds different. If you knock on a piece of wood or on a stone or something, it has a different sound when you knock on it. So you bang on the beds to hear, is it empty or is it full? The Yid was all scared. If they banging on it, he might hear it. It sounds different. There's something inside. But the soldier banged it and didn't hear it, didn't notice anything, and it kept on going, and he didn't catch it. Phew. Oh, he didn't realize, catch it. But now he knows that they're searching the rooms. He said, I can't let my tefillin there anymore, because maybe next time they'll catch it. Maybe it won't have a miracle next time. So they figured out, they started checking, like each day, they would check different rooms. So as soon as they would finish checking one room, they would bring that tefillin to that room they just checked and hide it in there. Because they figured they probably won't check the same room twice in one day. So one day they check one room, the next day the next room, then the next room, and then go back in a circle. Every few days check each room. So he'd also be moving around the tefillin like in a circle. As soon as they finished one room, hide it in there. The next day they checked another room, okay, hide in that room that just got checked. And going around. So one day, it was in the winter, and they woke everyone up very early. It was before it got light outside, it was still dark. And they said, get outside, go in the truck. They brought them in a truck, they brought them into a forest, and they had them all start to dig holes in the ground. So I'm not sure why they needed a hole for. It could be that when they're fighting wars, a lot of times they put holes in the ground, they would hide in the hole, and from there they used it to fight for soldiers, different things. They had them work very hard, and they had to dig these holes. It was freezing cold outside. It was extremely hard work. And they gave them 3 pieces of bread for the whole day. That was their food. It was barely enough just to stay alive. But they don't have a choice. If they don't work hard, they'll do to them. So they were working. They finally finished the whole work. The whole day's work. It was almost getting dark. They started bringing them back. And now he said, wait, but today I didn't get to put on tefillin yet. They took us when it's still dark outside before it got light. And I my tefillin are back there. They're not with me. Didn't put on tefillin. I want to get back and put on tefillin before it gets dark. So he's watching. They're driving back. And he saw they got back. It wasn't dark yet. A few minutes left. He said, phew, want to get in. And I put on my tefillin. I'll daven. You know? And they made an announcement. They said, tonight, no one's allowed to leave. It's called a curfew. No one's allowed to leave your rooms. So sometimes, even nowadays, they make sometimes curfews. But if you don't listen, how much do they punish someone? Maybe pay some money or something. There, if you don't listen to the rule, they do something very bad to the people anybody doesn't listen. So he ran to his bed, went to the hole, and empty, wasn't there. So he realized, oh, that's right, because they had hidden in a different room. So, but how can I go get it? If I leave my room to go to the other room to go get it, they could see me. And they could shoot him. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you have to give up your life to put on tefillin. There are some mitzvahs that you have to give up your life for. For example, if someone says, bow down to an idol, or I'll kill you, no, you're not bound to idol anyways. If someone says, go kill someone else, and if not, I'm going to kill you, no, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to kill someone else in order, it doesn't work. Or if someone says, do an aveda, something that's a sin, that's not sneeze, that's not modest, like someone says, go steal someone else's wife, you're not allowed to do it, even if they're going to kill you. But to put on tefillin, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you have to give your life to go put on tefillin. So he figured, okay, I guess maybe today I won't put on tefillin, what can I do? Then he thought to himself, wait, I never missed a day in my life putting on tefillin. And what am I worried about? I'm going to die? Anyways, every day they're killing people here. These are showing these Nazis. So who said I'm going to be alive tomorrow to put on tefillin again tomorrow? Maybe you're going to kill me tonight. Maybe it'll be my last time putting on tefillin anyways. So I might as well put on tefillin and again, if I'll get killed, I'll die for doing a mitzvah. Now, I'm not here to say if it was right or wrong when he decided, because people in such a situation, such a matzav, it's not something we could imagine how hard it is and what it's like. So this is the story. This is what he did. So he said, let me go. I'll go put on tefillin. If I stay alive, I stay alive. If I die, I die. He's peeking out the door to see any soldiers, and everyone saw him. He wants to leave. Ho, 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 ho. If he gets caught, it's not like he gets punished through the recess. I told you. He's looking. Okay, he ran out of the room, and he ran to the next room, ran out of the door, boom, got inside. Phew. And they didn't catch him. He went and saw a few people putting on the tefillin, standing in line, and he also stood in line. I want to put on the tefillin quick. Fine, after everyone finished, he put on, said Shema, with such deep, you know, kavana, such concentrating, and he finished. Ah, I got to put on the tefillin. Okay, now I need to go back, because he couldn't stay there. Soldiers would come a lot of times and check out who's in the room. And if they see someone is in the room but didn't belong, not only he'll get punished, they'll punish everyone else. So he has to go back quick. So again, he peeks and he looks, and everyone's there wishing him, ooh, hatzlacha, you know, be well, Hashem should protect you. And he looks, 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 okay, runs out, runs back to his room. He runs all the way there, he gets to the door, puts his door on the handle, and he hears someone screaming, stop! And he froze inside of him. He turned around, and there was a Ukrainian guard. Because when the Nazis took over different places, they found in the jails, people were criminals, murderers, thieves, all these people. And they said, ah, you're a murderer? Oh, wonderful, we love murderers. We're also murderers. We need you to come help us to go murder some murder Jews. Come help us, we'll let you free. Okay, fine. Come out of the jail, we'll give you a gun, and you get to be a guard in Rahmanulislam. So this Ukrainian was known as an extremely cruel and evil person, and he was a big murderer. And he screamed at him, stop, and he figured, now he's gonna chas v'shalom, do something very bad to me. And instead of just, whatever, he waved, motioned to him, come here. He said, he wants to have fun with me first, before he does something to me. And he asked me, where were you? There's a curfew, not allowed to go out now. So I'm thinking, what excuse do I make now? Make an excuse? I'm late because my alarm clock didn't ring. What do you do? You're like, you know what? Excuses don't work anyways. I'll just tell him the truth, be proud of it. I see, and he said loud to this Ukrainian guy, I put on tefillin. And he said, what? You put on tefillin? Even though you know you're not allowed to here? It's a crime here? I know what tefillin is, this Ukrainian horrible, evil beast said. My neighbors are Jewish. I don't believe you. Show me your arm. So he rolled up his sleeve and he saw the marks on his arm. And this guy went red. He ran over to the big bell. There was a big bell to make a noise to call the prisoners. And started ringing this bell very loud. It means everyone has to come outside and line up. So first people were surprised. We're supposed to stay indoors. I'll go outside. Okay. I told them to go outside, line up. Fine. They all came outside and lined up. And then they saw this guard with this yid. And they realized, uh-oh. Now I know what's going to happen. He's going to scream at him. He's going to chas v'shalom do something very bad to him and say, see, this is what happens. You don't listen to me. You don't listen to us. He's going to make a show. And this guard starts screaming, look at your friends, you Jews. He went against the curfew. Why? To put on tefillin, which is another crime here. No one could say he didn't do it. You know he did it. And they're waiting, okay? He's quiet for a few minutes and said, on my life, I would never believe the one you guys, you give your life, your religion. Since he did it, and he gave him permission to put on tefillin whenever he wants. Go back. And that was it. He stayed alive. And he stayed alive to tell the story also.